Amen.
For those like Dr. Clark in our community are distressed in body, mind, or soul, let us pray. Eternal God, for the one who has enlightened us and made us better able to rightly divide thy word, we pray for mercy, and we pray for healing. For this, your humble servant, for whom it was enough that you made him a sinner saved by grace. And even now that you have made an earthen vessel full of your heavenly treasure, we pray that the words of our mouth, meditations of our heart, will be acceptable in thy sight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Our text this morning is taken from the gospel as recorded by Matthew, in the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 11. Now, the gospel of Matthew was written to show that Jesus Christ was indeed Israel's Messiah,
right,
who fulfills God's will as it was revealed in the Old Testament,
amen,
through his teachings and his living.
Yeah.
In other words, the Gospel of Matthew proclaims Jesus Christ as the Messiah of Israel.
Yeah.
Who successfully carries out the will of God as it was laid out in the Old Testament through his instructions and through his way of living.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our particular text emphasizes heavily Jesus Christ's awareness of both his messiahship and the enemy's desire to spoil his mission through his teachings and his living. To put it another way, Jesus Christ, as Israel's Messiah, is conscious of the fact that to be successful in fulfilling God's promises, he must resist the influences of the opposition in his instructions and his living.
Yeah.
Now, let us listen carefully and prayerfully to the reading of our text as it appears in the Revised Standard Version of the Bible.
All right. All right.
Then Jesus was taken up by the Spirit into the hostile wilderness to be tempted by the devil.
Yeah.
And Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights.
Yes.
And afterward, he was very, very hungry.
All right. All right.
And the tempter came and said to him, "Now, if you really are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread."
Yeah.
But Jesus angrily answered, "Now listen. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple and said to him, "Now, if indeed you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge of you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." But Jesus answered him harshly, "Listen to me again, for it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now the devil next took Jesus to a very high mountain,
all right,
and showed him all the kingdoms of the world,
yeah,
and the glories of those kingdoms.
Yeah.
And he said to Jesus, now listen to me. All of these will I give you if you will but fall down and worship me. But Jesus, our homeboy. Sharply said to him, begone, Satan.
Yeah.
For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God.
Yes,
and him only shall you serve.
Come on. Come on.
Then the devil left him. And angels came and helped Jesus.
Yes, sir.
I would like to speak on the subject principles for successful ministry. Principles for successful ministry. Now, if you have been to church several Sundays in a row, I am sure that there is a good chance that you have seen church folks in various ministerial offices or positions caught up in bending over backwards to prove to themselves and to others and to the Creator of all things that they are overwhelmingly successful in their particular field of ministry. These church folks foolishly believe that a successful ministry is determined only by the good things they achieve. They believe that a successful ministry is measured by the size of the congregation or by the size of the church house. They measure success by the number of people they attract or the number of folks they take in on Sunday morning. They judge success in ministry on the amount of money raised or on the number of positive reports they send to the pastor and or denominational headquarters. Now, I put this issue before you this morning because our text suggests that a lot of church folks seemingly are being tricked by the enemy, in that the enemy often comes in ways that church folks anticipate good things to come due to church folks' lack of power of religious discernment to separate the untruths of the enemy from good that comes in many forms. In other words, our text suggests that many so-called religious folk are being fooled by the opposition in terms of the opposition frequently approaching in ways that religious folk expect for favorable things to come due to religious folks' absence of strength, of religious insight to set aside the falsehoods of the opposition from good that comes in numerous forms.
Yeah.
Just don't know how to separate the opposition's lies from truth.
Yeah.
Just can't see behind or see through the falsehoods of the enemy.
All right.
So, in essence, what we have been driving at here is that a great many workers of the Lord look as if they are being outsmarted by the enemy. By reason of the enemy coming in ways that workers of the Lord look for positive things to come. Due to workers of the Lord lacking religious foresight to distinguish the lies of the enemy from good that comes in many forms. All because they are uninformed of the Almighty's principles for successful ministry. Now, let me illustrate how we followers in the way are unmindful of the Almighty's principles for successful ministry. The Reverend I Got It Made.
All right.
Pastor of the Funky Fellowship Tabernacle.
All right.
Was considered by everyone to be a successful pastor.
All right.
He had a big church.
Big church.
And a big congregation.
Yeah.
He had a big car.
Yeah.
And raised a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
Every Sunday.
Yeah.
He preached hot and funky sermons that drove the brothers and the sisters over the benches and under the benches.
Yeah.
But one Sunday evening, the Reverend I Got It Made. Got an urge to go cruising in his Cadillac. He eased into town until he got to the street where the ladies of the evening struck their funky stuff. In fine, funky fashion, he pulled over to the curb and offered one of them fine, funky ladies $20 to take care of him in a fine, funky way. She smiled real pretty and took his money. Then she reached in her purse and flashed for him her police badge. The Reverend I Got It Made put the pedal to the metal, but was caught by pursuing police two blocks away. He was jailed, and when the news broke in town, the Reverend I Got It Made was dismissed from his church. Furthermore, there is the tragic example of the seemingly successful ministry of the Reverend Jim Jones and the hundreds of blacks who died with him in Jonestown, Guyana. Still again, right here at the ITC, we hear on a weekly basis of so-called successful students who turn down or give up small and or rural pastorates because they are too big to be placed at such insignificant parishes. So, we can see clearly from these living examples that we need to become aware of the Almighty's principles for successful ministry.
Yeah.
Now why?
Why?
Just why?
Why
is this dirty, nasty issue of not being aware of the Almighty's principles for successful ministry such an important issue this morning?
Why?
Why is it so urgent that we become fully conscious of the divine chief's principles for successful ministry? Well, the reason why it is so important for us to be aware of the divine chief's principles for successful ministry is because not being mindful of these principles for successful ministry is going to cause us to get our bumpkins whipped real bad in front of the whole church. You see, when you are in a position of ministerial leadership, you have to be able to see behind the tricks of the enemy because you give advice and direction to religious folk on how they can have more fruitful ministries. And they expect positive results. And when they put your advice and directions to practice, and the enemy whips their bumpkins badly every time they put your advice and directions to work, they are going to get very angry. And when they get very angry, they are going to come to you with the intent of whipping your bumpkin. Oh, yes, they are going to come to you to surely whip your bumpkin just like the enemy whips theirs every time they put your advice into practice. Oh yes, they are going to surely whip your bumpkin in front of that whole church. So it is upsettingly true that if we continue to be unconscious of the divine chief's principles for successful ministry, we will soon end up having our bumpkins whipped real bad in front of the whole church by those we have misled.
Amen.
Now, since
none of us
want to get our bumpkins whipped real bad in front of the whole church, St. Matthew must have been looking down the road at us ages ago when he suggested three divine principles that we consider as being relative to successful ministry, so that people will embrace us and want to kiss us in the name of our God. Now, the first divine idea that our text suggests that we consider as being relative to principles for a successful ministry has to do with us becoming aware of the enemy hitting us with our natural drive. By putting something bothering us naturally over our spiritual needs, so that we can be aware of the enemy trying to defeat us through our natural drives, so that people will embrace us and want to kiss us in the name of our God. In other words, what our text is suggesting is that we need to become conscious of the opposition getting at us through our physical urges, by getting us to put our physical urges over our spiritual needs, so that we can be aware of the opposition trying to have victory over us through our physical urges, so that people will embrace us and want to kiss us in the name of our God. Just need to get our physical drives in check. Just need to stop letting our natural urges control us. So, in essence, what our text is driving at in this first point is that we become knowledgeable. Of the enemy attacking us quite often through our physical urges, by way of getting us to put our physical urges over our spiritual needs, so that we can be aware of the enemy trying to have victory over us through our physical urges, so that people will embrace us and want to kiss us in the name of our God. Now, let me illustrate how we can overcome our physical urges. We can look around the classroom and see that some of us are controlled in total by our physical urge for bread. But we can overcome this physical urge by getting a doctor to monitor our extra eating. This doctor can prescribe a more nutritional diet and a more balanced diet to help us fight our big appetites, which in turn will give us more strength and energy and self-control over our appetite. Now, all of us are not controlled by our natural appetites, but some of us are controlled by our natural sex drive. Still further, some of us are controlled by our natural urge to satisfy our thirst and have become controlled by alcohol. Thus, all of these are examples that we need to consider seriously if we are to overcome being controlled by our natural drives. Now, the value of recognizing our need to be free of being controlled by our physical drives by becoming conscious of how our physical drives control us is that we will be in the know on how the enemy tries to defeat us through our physical drives. Because there just ain't no way. There just ain't no way this morning we can get behind the tricks of the enemy unless we become aware of the need to have control over our physical urges. We've got to know how to control our natural drive. We've got to overcome in our minds our physical urges. So, the first divine idea that our text suggests that we consider seriously if we are to acquire the first principle of successful ministry has to do with us recognizing our need to have an informed mind about the enemy coming at us through our natural urges. By way of getting through to us, by way of getting us to put our natural urges over our spiritual needs.
All right.
So that the enemy, so that we can become aware of the enemy trying to defeat us through our natural urges. So that people will embrace us and want to kiss us in the name of our God. Clearly then, clearly this is what Jesus had in mind when he said in verse 4 of our text, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, the second divine idea that our text suggests that we consider as being relative to principles for successful ministry has to do with us becoming aware of the enemy getting at us in a scriptural way quite often. By knowing all about our scriptural weaknesses. So that we can be aware of the enemy trying to defeat us through our scriptural weaknesses. So that people will embrace us and want to kiss us in the name of our God. In other words, what our text is suggesting is that we need to become conscious of the opposition attacking us through our scriptural shortcomings. By knowing all about our places of scriptural shortcomings so that we can be aware of the enemy trying to trick us through our scriptural shortcomings. So that people will embrace us and want to kiss us in the name of our God. Just need to be aware of our shortage of scriptural knowledge. Just need to be mindful how scriptural truths slip out of our heads. So, in essence, what our text has been driving at in this second point is that we become knowledgeable of the enemy getting to us quite often through our scriptural shortcomings. By being aware of our areas of scriptural shortcomings so that we can be aware of the enemy trying to fool us through our scriptural shortcomings.
All right.
So that people will embrace us and want to kiss us in the name of our God. Now, let me illustrate how we can overcome our scriptural weaknesses. We can study and study and study the scriptures under properly and professionally trained religious leaders in seminaries, in Bible colleges, and universities. These professionals can provide both new and proper insights to the scriptures while helping us to increase our recall of the scriptures, which in turn will give us a more solid scriptural foundation to stand on. Now, all of us are not guilty of scriptural shortcomings. However, some of us are guilty of being qualified professionals in scriptural matters who refuse to share our gift with those who have scriptural shortcomings. Still further, some of us are knowledgeable of scriptural truths, but insist on passing down scriptural lies to those with scriptural shortcomings. Thus, all of these are examples we need to consider seriously if we are to overcome our scriptural shortcomings. Now, the value of recognizing our need to be strengthened in our scriptural weaknesses is that we will be in the know on how the enemy tries to have victory over us through our scriptural shortcomings. Because there just ain't no way.
No.
There just ain't no way this morning we can fight against the scriptural strength of the enemy. Unless we become aware of the need to become scripturally strong ourselves.
Amen.
We've got to know more about the scriptures than the enemy. We've got to get serious in our minds about overcoming scriptural weaknesses. So the second divine idea that our text suggests that we need to consider seriously if we are to acquire the second principle of successful ministry has to do with us recognizing our need to have an informed mind about the enemy coming at us through our scriptural weaknesses quite often. By way of knowing all about our scriptural areas of weakness. So that we can be aware of the enemy trying to have victory over us through our scriptural weaknesses. So that people will embrace us and want to kiss us in the name of our God. Clearly then. Clearly, this is what Jesus had in mind when he said in verse 7 of our text, again, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, the third and final divine idea. Are you praying with me, church? That our text suggests that we consider as being relative to principles for a successful ministry has to do with us becoming aware of the enemy getting to us in our areas of weak loyalty quite often. By knowing all about our areas of weak loyalty. So that we can be aware of the enemy trying to defeat us through our areas of weak loyalty. So that people will embrace us and want to kiss us in the name of our God. In other words, our text is suggesting that we need to become conscious of the opposition coming at us through our areas of shaky loyalty quite often by way of knowing all about our areas of shaky loyalty so that we can be aware of the enemy trying to defeat us through our areas of shaky loyalty so that people will embrace us and want to kiss us in the name of our God. Just need to be aware of our areas of loyalty breakdown. Just need to be mindful of how our loyalties can be easily bought. So in essence, what our text has been driving at in this third and final point is that we become knowledgeable of the enemy attacking us through our areas of weak loyalty. By way of becoming aware of the enemy knowing all about our areas of weak loyalty. So that we can be aware of the enemy trying to have victory through us. Over us through our areas of weak loyalty. So that people will embrace us and want to kiss us in the name of our Lord. Now, let me illustrate how we can overcome our areas of weak loyalty. We can get a friend to assess our moral weaknesses. Not someone who is so close to us that they would lie to us. And not someone who is so far from us that they cannot fairly judge us. But someone who knows us more than casually. To take stock of our moral weaknesses. So that we can get an honest opinion of what it is that pulls us down morally. Whether it be an inferiority complex, or greed, or lust, or a thirst for power, to name but a few. Now all of us may not be guilty of giving our loyalty to greed, or lust, or power, but some of us are more loyal to our fraternities and our sororities than we are to the Creator of all things. Still further, some of us are more loyal to getting good grades at all costs, such as cheating on exams and failing. creator of all things.
My Lord.
Thus, all of these are living examples that we need to consider seriously if we are to overcome the enemy in our areas of shaky loyalty. Now, the value of recognizing our need to overcome in our areas of shaky loyalty is that by becoming fully conscious of our areas of shaky loyalty, we will be put in the know on how the enemy tries to have victory over us through our areas of shaky loyalty. Because there just ain't no way. There just ain't no way this morning we can overcome new loyalty offers from the enemy unless we become aware that our highest loyalty should lie with the Creator of all things. We've got to know how to be loyal in our thinking. We've got to overcome in our minds our shaky loyalty. So, the third and final divine idea that our text suggests that we need to consider seriously if we are to acquire the third and final principle for successful ministry has to do with us recognizing our need to have an informed mind about the enemy coming to us in our areas of weak loyalty quite often. By way of the enemy knowing all about our areas of weak loyalties so that we can be aware of the enemy trying to have victory over us through our areas of weak loyalties. So that people will embrace us and want to kiss us in the name of our God. Clearly then, clearly, this is what Jesus had in mind when he said in verse 10 of our text, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Thus, I challenge you. I challenge you, my brothers and sisters, to consider seriously our three texts suggested divine ideas of one, being aware of the need to control our physical urges. Two, being aware of the need to strengthen our scriptural weaknesses. And three, being aware of the need to rebuild our shaky loyalties as being relevant principles for successful ministry. Amen.
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 Audio tape catalog number 17430. Review of elementary school Spanish series, Step 2 of Viva Nuestra Amistad. Part 1, Review Lesson 1 for Telelessons 1, 2, and Classwork.
Viva, ay viva, viva nuestra amistad. Viva, ay viva, viva nuestra amistad. Viva nuestra amistad, viva nuestra amistad. Viva,
viva, viva.
Hola, niños. Yo soy la señora de Wright. Me llamo Yvonne de Wright.
Y yo soy el señor McKelvey. Me llamo Duncan McKelvey. You remember us, don't you? From last year, with our audio tape fun and games once a week.
Sí, y un repaso también.
Yeah, we reviewed things you had learned during the week, too. By the fifth day, after your telelessons and practice with your teachers, we could play around a bit in Spanish and polish up the fine points, couldn't we? Okay, señora. Let's sock it to him right off with a number game.
Ay, sí, sí, sí. Los números de 1 a 10. Y niños, contemos muy rápido.
Count right with her just as fast as she goes. You ready?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Phew, terrific. Now let's play that game where señora counts and leaves out a number. You really have to listen. Call out the number she skips. Vamos, let's go.
1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Ah, cinco. She skipped cinco, didn't she? Okay, señora, again.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10.
You got it? You know which one it was? Siete. That's the one. Did you catch it? Okay, again, señora, and faster this time.
1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Cuatro. That's it. Okay, this time I count. And, señora, you and the class say the number I leave out. You ready? Uno, dos, cinco, cuatro, ocho, seis, diez, siete, tres.
Señor McKelvey!
What?
Santísimo, ¿qué hace usted?
Oh, I just left out one number. What was it? It was nine. Nueve. I didn't say I'd say the numbers in order.
Ay, 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 Dios mío, ¿qué señor
you
es este?
You have to be smart to play with me. Okay, señora de Wright, I'm thinking of a number. You guess what number it is. ¿Qué número es?
¿Es el número dos?
No, no es el número dos.
¿Es el número ocho?
No, no es el número ocho.
¿Es el número diez?
Sí, es el número diez.
¡Ah, qué bueno!
Now, señora, you play the game with the classroom teacher. Teacher, you hold up the number you're guessing. Hey, fellows and girls, you have to say the Spanish question for your teacher, okay? Well, let's try one for an example. Teacher, hold up the card for number seven as your first guess. Children, you would ask señora de Wright, ¿es el número siete? Practice that a minute after señora.
¿Es el número siete? ¿Es el número siete?
Then, señora de Wright would answer yes or no. If she says no, teacher, you'll have to guess again and the class will ask the question for you. Let's try it. Ready?
¿Qué número es?
Teacher, hold up your number fast and kids, ask the question.
No, no es el número uno.
Another number.
No, no es el número nueve.
Another number.
Sí, es el número seis.
Very good. Let's try again. Teacher, it took you three guesses that time. See if you can guess faster, okay? Ready?
¿Qué número es?
Teacher, hold up your number.
No, no es el número tres.
Another number.
Sí, es el número ocho.
Hey, just two guesses. Want to try again while your luck is holding? Well, here we go.
¿Qué número es?
Hold up your number, teacher, and class, ask the question.
Sí, es el número siete.
Say, how'd you do that? I believe your teacher is using mental telepathy. She can read our minds. Well, Ah, here come Carmita and Pablo. Listen.
Buenas tardes, buenas tardes. ¿Cómo están? ¿Cómo están?
Muy bien, gracias. ¿Y usted? ¿Y usted?
Muy bien, gracias. Cha-cha-cha. Cha-cha-cha.
Niños, Carmita y Pablo cantan muy bien, gracias, y usted, repitan. Cha, 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 repitan. Muy bien, y ahora canten ustedes con Carmita y Pablo.
Buenas tardes, buenas tardes. ¿Cómo están? ¿Cómo están?
Muy bien, gracias. Muy bien, gracias. ¿Y usted?
Muy bien, gracias. Muy bien, gracias. Cha, cha, cha. Cha, cha, cha.
Now let's go over our friends we've seen on television this year. First of all, we've met these two new friends.
Sí, niños. Aquí están nuestros nuevos amigos. Esta es una niña. Se llama Carmita. Y este es un niño. Se llama Pablo. Escuchen. Carmita. Es una niña. Es una amiga. Es una niña. Repitan. Es una amiga. Se llama Carmita. Sí, Carmita es una niña. Es una amiga. Escuchen, Pablo es un niño. Es un amigo. Es un niño. Repitan. Es un amigo. Se llama Pablo. Muy bien.
Señora, let's play the niño o niña game the way you and Carmita and Pablo did on the second telelesson.
Ah, sí, señor. Juguemos.
Okay, teacher. Will you hold up the cutouts for us as listed in the manual? Children, you answer.
¿Es un niño?
Or.
¿Es una niña?
Here we go. Number one.
¿Es un niño o es una niña? Es un niño.
Señora, before we go to number two, ask the children whether it's one boy or another, and let's see if they know.
Muy bien. ¿Se llama Pepe o Paco? Se llama Pepe.
Number two.
¿Es un niño o es una niña? Es una niña. ¿Se llama Juanita o se llama Luisa? Se llama Juanita.
Number three.
¿Es un niño o es una niña? Es un niño. ¿Se llama Juan o se llama Ángel? Se llama Ángel.
Number four.
¿Es un niño o es una niña? Es una niña. ¿Se llama Rosa o se llama Susana? Se llama Rosa.
Now, let's switch and say amigo or amiga.
Sí, cómo no.
Number five.
¿Es un amigo o es una amiga? Es un amigo. ¿Se llama Joaquín o se llama Pablo? Se llama Joaquín.
Number six.
¿Es un amigo o es una amiga? Es un amigo. ¿Se llama Paco o se llama Pícaro? Se llama Paco.
Number seven.
¿Es un amigo o es una amiga? Es una amiga. ¿Se llama Carmita o se llama Luisa? Se llama Luisa.
Well, that's a pretty easy game, isn't it? Gee, with just two possible answers, you have a 50-50 chance to get it right away. I like it better when you have to guess and pull the answer right out of thin air. Boy, your teacher could probably guess without looking at the cutouts. I still can't figure that out. There's got to be a trick to it.
Ay, pobre señor McKelvey.
Well, I...
Cantemos, señor. Cantemos uno de enero.
Okay, first you and Rosa sing it for us. Listen, children.
Uno de enero,
2 de febrero, 3 de marzo, 4 de abril, 5 de mayo, 6 de junio, 7 de julio, San Fermín. La 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 la. La 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 la.
Now let's sing it with them.
1 de enero, 2 de febrero, 3 de marzo, 4 de abril, 5 de mayo, 6 de junio, 7 de julio, San Fermín. La 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 la.
Hey, I like that one a lot. La 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 la
la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la.
Yeah, that's how it goes. But we gotta go soon, Signora, and I want to play double echo. Remember how you used to say words fast and the class had to try to say them twice in the pause? Let's see if they can still do it. Ready, kids? Wiggle your tongue and loosen your lips. All set? Twice in the pause. Remember, here we go.
Buenos días. Buenas tardes. Buenas noches. ¿Cómo están ustedes? Muy bien. Gracias. ¿Y usted? Señor. Señora. Señorita. Niños. Amigos. Carmita. Pablo. ¿Es un amigo? ¿Es una amiga? ¿Qué número es? Es el número 5. Es el número 10. Adiós. Hasta pronto.
Not bad, but we gotta go right now, but we'll be back again next week. So long for now.
Adiós, niños. Hasta pronto.
This recording was produced by the Georgia Educational Television Network, a service of the State Department of Education. Audiotape catalog number 17430. Review of elementary school Spanish series, step 2 of Viva Nuestra Amistad. Part 2, review lesson 2 for telelessons 3 and 4 and classwork.
Viva, ay viva, viva nuestra amistad, viva nuestra amistad, viva nuestra amistad, viva,
viva, viva.
Hey. Let's see if I can do that little greeting the way Signora does it. You kids are going to have to answer me, okay? Okay.
Buenos dias, niños.
Huh? I heard somebody answer Signora de Wright. That's not my name. My name's Signor McKelvey. Okay. Now let's see if I can get the next line.
¿Cómo están ustedes?
Yeah, and then I answer,
muy bien, gracias. ¿Y usted?
¡Caramba! ¿Qué es lo que está haciendo el señor McKelvey? Señor McKelvey, ¿qué hace usted? ¿Usted está hablando en español?
Sí, yes.
¿Ah, sí? Pues mira, qué bien. Ah, estupendo.
Estupendo.
Niños, estupendo. Estupendo. Estupendo.
Say, I like that word. Stupendous, huh? That's the way I speak Spanish. Estupendo.
Ay, este señor.
I had a whole conversation with the class. Now you do it and let them answer you.
Buenos días, niños. Niños, me llamo señora de Wright. No me llamo señor McKelvey. ¿Cómo están ustedes? Muy bien, gracias.
But when the children ask you, how are you, señora? Instead of just, and you, they say, ¿cómo está usted, señora? Right?
Ah, sí, señor. Usted es muy inteligente.
Estupendo, estupendo.
Niños, escuchen. ¿Cómo está usted? Repitan. ¿Cómo está usted? Muy bien.
I've got it. All the boys stand up. Okay, boys, you are Señor Moreno. Girls, you stay seated and be Luisa. Okay, Señora, give us the cues. Boys, remember to speak the man's lines, and girls, you speak Luisa's lines.
Señor Moreno, buenos días, Luisa. Luisa, buenos días, señor. ¿Cómo está usted? Señor Moreno, muy bien, gracias. ¿Y tú? Luisa, muy bien, gracias.
Fine. Now tell me, why did the man say "y tú" to the girl? Well, adults speak in the informal way to a child, don't they? But a child says usted, the formal way to the grown-up to show respect. Gee, I just know so much, don't I, señora?
Ay, sí, señor.
Oh, yeah. You make me feel so good, I'm going to sing you a song.
Ah, sí, estupendo.
Here I go. Esta es la señora, I see. Esta es la señora, I see. Que señora de right se llama, I see. Que señora de right se llama. Que señora de right se llama, I see. Que señora de right se llama.
¡Ay, excelente! Muy bien, señor. Muchas gracias. Estupendo, bravo, magnífico.
De nada. Now let's play that game, I'm thinking about a friend.
Ah, sí. Juguemos a Estoy pensando en un amigo.
You see, if I'm real nice, señora will play the games I want to play. I've got lots of brains. Okay, let's guess from the Azular family.
Bueno, muy bien. La familia Azular. Escuchen. La familia Azular. Repitan. Esta es la familia Azular. Esta es la familia Azular. El señor Azular. La señora de Azular. Rosa Azular y Ricardo Azular.
Un amigo.
Ah, el señor McKelvey dice, estoy pensando en un amigo. Estoy pensando en un amigo. Repitan. ¿Es un señor?
No. No es un señor.
El señor McKelvey dice, no, no es un señor. Repitan. ¿Es un niño?
Sí, es un niño.
Ah, sí, es un niño. Escuchen, sí, es un niño. Repitan. Muy bien, ¿y niños? ¿Quién es? Yo sé. ¿Quién es? Contesten. Sí, es Ricardo Azular. Muy bien.
Okay, señora. Let's try another family, and you think of somebody, and I will guess.
Muy bien, señor. Es la familia Verdejo. Repitan. Esta es la familia Verdejo. El señor Verdejo. La señora de Verdejo. Luisa Verdejo. Susana Verdejo. Y Ángel Verdejo. Estoy pensando en una amiga.
Es Ángel? No. It's got to be a lady or a girl, because you said amiga, didn't you?
Sí, yeah. Estoy pensando en una amiga.
¿Es una señora?
No, no es una señora. Niños, repitan.
¿Es una niña?
Sí, es una niña. Repitan. ¿Quién es?
Es Luisa o Susana. I'll flip a coin, that's what I'll do. Es Susana.
No, no es Susana. Niños, ¿quién es? Contesten. Sí, es Luisa.
That wasn't estupendo. Let's play a different game, please.
Ah, sí, señor. Cantemos.
Sí, that's a good idea. How about uno, dos y tres? I know the numbers.
Sí, niños. Escuchen. Y ahora, cantemos todos.
Now, I've got a listen and circle activity for the class. Let's see if the kids can do better than I can. Teacher, do you have the numbers 1 through 5 on the chalkboard with A, B, C by each? Okay, kids, you remember how to play, don't you? We'll ask a question and give you 3 possible answers. You call out the letter for the correct answer for your teacher to circle. Now listen, or you'll choose the wrong one. I can make my questions tricky, you know. Ready? Teacher, hold up the first visual, please. Number 1.
Esta es...
A.
La señora de Moreno.
B.
El señor Moreno.
Or C.
La señora de Verdejo.
It's A.
Esta es la señora de Moreno.
Number 2.
Nuestros nuevos amigos son...
A.
Pícaro y Pepe.
B.
Juan y Joaquín.
Or C.
Carmita y Pablo.
It's C.
Nuestros nuevos amigos son Carmita y Pablo.
Now, teacher, please hold up the second visual. Number 3.
Este niño se llama...
A.
Paco Dorado.
B.
Ricardo Azular.
Or C.
Ángel Verdejo.
It's A. Paco.
C. Sí, este niño se llama Paco Dorado.
Number 4.
Luisa dice, ¿cómo está usted, señora? La señora de Dorado contesta,
A.
Adiós, hasta pronto.
B.
Muy bien, gracias. ¿Y tú?
RC.
Me llamo la señora de Dorado.
It's B. When Luisa asks, how are you? Señora answers,
Muy bien, gracias. ¿Y tú?
Okay, teacher. Now the visual for the fifth question. Number 5.
Estoy pensando en...
A.
Un amigo.
B.
Una amiga.
R. C.
Pícaro.
The cutout isn't our parrot. It's a girl. So the answer is B.
Estoy pensando en una amiga.
Señora, let's practice that un amigo and una amiga part some more. You name some people, then I'll say es, and the class will finish the sentence with un amigo or una amiga.
Muy bien.
Number 1.
Este es un señor. Repitan. Se llama el señor Moreno.
Now complete my sentence. Es.
Es un amigo.
Okay, I think we catch on now. We'll go faster, señora, de right? Number 2.
Esta es una niña. Se llama Juanita Rojas.
Es.
Es una amiga.
Number 3.
Esta es una señorita. Se llama la señorita Rosado.
Es.
Es una amiga.
Number 4.
Este es un niño. Se llama Ángel Verdejo.
Es.
Es un amigo.
Number 5.
Esta es una señora. Se llama la señora de Azular.
Es.
Es una amiga.
Number 6.
Este es un señor. Se llama el señor McKelvey.
You better get this one, kids. Es.
Es un amigo.
Hey, that was fun, but it's time to go now.
Ay, sí, qué lástima.
Hasta pronto, niños.
Sí, niños, adiós. Hasta pronto.
This recording was produced by the Georgia Educational Television Network, a service of the State Department of Education.